I hereby call the meeting of the Committee on Appointments to order. It is about 8 minutes after four. We're in the presence of a majority, a quorum rather, in the presence of Legislator Myers and Legislator Nona. We're going to be discussing two resolutions for reappointments or those previously interviewed, as well as two appointments for the Board of Health and one appointment for the County Board, Community College Board of Trustees.
I believe it's just one appointment for the Board of Health.
I'm sorry,
I believe it's one appointment for the Board of Health.
John Tassone.
We have two interviewees, but it's one slot.
I'm sorry, yes, we are only making one appointment, we have two interviews.
And I was going to tell you about that.
Well, we're on tape.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we, since we're here and there's no reason not to, have a motion on the appointment to the Hispanic Advisory Board, Mr. Rodriguez?
So
have a motion?
Second.
Moved by Mr. Nona, second by Ms. Myers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion carries 3-0. On the matter of Escala de Rosa, may I have a motion to appoint her to the Hispanic Advisory Board?
Second.
She's a reappointment.
A reappointment,
yeah.
Yes.
All in favor, aye.
Did we
interview Alex Rodriguez?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
He was the kid.
Young man.
Okay, on the appointment of Escala Rodriguez, de Rosa, may I have a motion with Ms. Myers, second by Mr. Dona. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Thank you very much. Those two are done. Well, well, well.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Bill Burton. I'm the chairman of the appointments committee.
John Tassone.
Judy Hi. Myers.
John
nice
Nona.
To
Hi.
Meet you.
How are you?
Sign in, then we play 20 questions.
We just approved these two reappointments.
Oh, did you? Okay,
great. Oh, we also have this Westchester Community College, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, we're all set. So we're
did we do
four.
This?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We will.
Got it.
Thank you. Mr. Tassone, I'm always impressed with somebody who goes abroad to get a PhD. I've always thought of myself as somebody who really knew most of the universities in the world, at least
nowadays.
My name. But I have never heard of Edenvale.
You do it online.
It's an online?
Huh.
Neat. Well, well. That's tricky. That's really very interesting. So, how did you hook up with Edenvale, if that's the right word?
I have a staff member who told me about it, so I did my work online.
And how long did it take you?
Almost 2 years.
And you started out with having previously gotten a master's, or did you go from bachelor's to...
I went from bachelor's. I have an MBA in accounting from Iona, and I got my PhD in education.
In 2 years? Terrific.
It's a lot easier doing it online than it is.
But you had to do a thesis, though, right? You had to write a thesis.
I had to write a thesis, correct.
But you didn't have to party and drink.
Too old for that.
Graduate students.
Too old for that.
Well, okay, smoke dope. Whatever.
Never done that.
Boring. So, having gone through all of that, you're still interested in the position on the Board of Health.
A number of years ago, I don't know if you're familiar. Jim Perucci. Jim was the regional supervisor in the Mount Kisco office. And I have been involved with the camp committee, the camp advisory committee. We set up the mandatory camp workshops for camp directors at the county center every year. And Jim had asked me, going back 10, 12 years ago, he said, if there was ever an opening, would you be interested? And I said, of course I would be. Couple of months ago, the current crop of supervisors, the Kathy Teresi in the Ombra's office, and George Vasilikas in the Rochelle, and Mario Pulver in Mount Kisco, and Pete DeLucia, I guess he's the assistant commissioner of health now, they approached me and they said, would I be interested?
Oh, wow.
And they asked me to get in touch with you.
Yep.
Here I am.
Terrific. And so, What impact does the Board of Health have on summer camps?
Tremendous impact. We have all the rules and regulations in regards to the sanitary code, in terms of supervision, in terms of safety, in terms of health, in terms of record keeping. So there's a tremendous impact that the Board of Health has, the Department of Health, the Board of Health has on camps.
Mm-hmm. They pass all sorts of
requirements. Well, I wanted to drive into this because given that you would be sitting on the Board of Health, would you envision that your situation would create a conflict of interest?
A conflict of interest? I don't think it would be a conflict of interest because I am an extremely disciplined individual. If I felt that I had to recluse myself, I would. But I don't think it would create a conflict.
I mean, the flip side of having somebody who's really, really deeply involved in things that involve the Board of Health is that when someone is working in a commercial capacity there, it can create the perception, which is always the problem. And so I think I appreciate your saying up front what you would consider doing. So I have no further questions. Mr.
Yeah, Tessler.
We'll start down here and then we'll come back. Let me start with John. Mr. Tessler.
No, I have no question. I don't think there'd be a conflict either, unless there was something specifically related to the town in your jurisdiction.
Well, it's not really town. This is a private camp.
Excuse me?
This is a private camp.
Mine is a private camp.
Okay. Breezemont Day Camp.
It's a very well-known.
It's very popular.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the question. And I think it's a fair question to ask, but I think it's also been answered well.
Well, the question is, what jurisdiction does the Department of Health have over the camp specifically?
That's what I asked. Okay. But let me just work this way up and down.
That's wrong, guy.
Mr. Brown, you finished?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Ms. Myers.
Yes, I'm glad to see you. Glad to meet you. And I, as a legislator, sit on the Board of Health as the legislative representative. And I can assure you that the Department of Health has a great deal of oversight over the day camps and is very busy with day camps, especially in the summertime, especially with regards to, buddy calls in the water and...
Number one concern.
Yeah, swimming is a huge issue. Matter of fact, I was going to share with you something that has just come up, which is very interesting and had not been an issue, had not ever arisen as an issue, where in the wintertime, parents are utilizing swimming pools in hotels and arranging for birthday parties. And there was, unfortunately, an incident very recently, where they had one adult and lots of five-year-olds, including two or three who couldn't swim and were sinking. And so one of the things that we have started, we've asked the county attorney for an opinion on whether indeed something needs to be done with hotel regulations in terms of their leasing.
Having a lifeguard.
Lifeguard on premises or a certain number of adults that have to be present per child.
Adhering to the ratios that are mandated by the sanitary code in terms of X number of bathers, X number of adults certified. Mm. Adults.
Mm-hmm.
X number of bathers in the pool, X number of qualified individuals in the pool with the children, too. So,
mm-hmm. And one of the things that the reason I guess they've gotten around it always in the past, or why it hasn't, I mean, it isn't currently a real legal issue per se, is because what the hotels do is the way they work this is you basically rent a room in the hotel.
Right.
That guarantees you usage of the pool. So you're not really reserving the pool site, per se. And so, I think it's going to be an area that the Board of Health is probably going to have to get.
I hope so.
Yeah. I must say, I do, having sat on this board for a number of years now, I do know that there have been a number of changes in some of the regulations regarding day camps, especially because sometimes the issues get resolved at the end of the summer. And then there's always an issue when it's later, whether you need to, do you get back in touch with the parents, you know, throughout the year? And there's been a lot of different issues because it's so seasonal. But I think it's been running pretty smoothly for the past couple of years.
I think that the relationship, you know, if a camp director views the sanitarians in an adversarial light, they're making a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Terrible mistake.
Yeah.
I think that every sanitarian, you can actually communicate with them.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah.
Interpretations vary.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of an instance a couple of years ago. A brand new sanitarian came to inspect Breezemont, and she and I got into a discussion about nipple deep versus chest deep water.
Oh, dear.
And I knew I was right. There's no way in the world I'm going to get into a confrontation with her at a pool. So we shelved it. She came back into my office, and I questioned her about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know what? I think I'm right, but I want to be sure. So she called her office.
Mm-hmm.
She was incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So, Westchester, to my knowledge, is also the only county that has its own addendums to the state code.
With regards to day camp? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm an ACA, American Camping Association, accredited camp.
Mm-hmm.
The standards that I have to adhere to are a lot higher, a lot more stringent than the New York State sanitary code.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Westchester has definitely, it's always been cutting edge, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. That's good to hear.
In terms of background checks, in terms of letters of reference, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where the state code says you need two, well, Westchester says you need three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting situation, it sure is.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Nolan.
Yeah, I had a question. What led you to become a level C water system operator?
Because I operate on the camp, I operate a public water supply.
Yeah, so you have your own wells. You have
own wells.
Yeah.
And so every 3 years I have to, that's a challenge.
Yeah.
It was a lot easier taking a doctorate than it was passing the level C water systems operator course. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of chemistry involved.
And you've got to have your water tested periodically, right?
My water is tested once a year for nitrate, mm-hmm. once a quarter for bacteria and E. coli. I take a reading every day in terms of because we chlorinate the water,
right. Mm-hmm.
What the chlorine level is in the water.
Who does the testing for you?
The Westchester County Lab in Bellhaven.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any issues with them by any chance?
No.
Good.
Okay.
No.
You're still on?
I'd say.
Oh, okay. You're done? Okay. Thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome.
This is a process that goes on. We have several applicants, just if it doesn't work out, it's not because we don't feel that you're not qualified.
Totally,
it's really because.
And I believe there will be other openings. I think I've heard some people saying, "Oh, I've been doing this long enough," you know. So.
But varied experience is one of the things that we
want to
really
have,
and experience and people from the northern part of the county, because this has been historically a more of a southern Westchester thing, and that's not necessarily where all the summer camps are.
You make is going to be the right decision.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be the decision.
It's been a pleasure. A pleasure meeting you and talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for coming in.
Take care. You going to walk me out?
I'm going to walk you out because I have to walk somebody
else. That's my constituent.
Here was the reasoning for...
We have second...
we have another person to look at. This is for an at-large position. One of the things that the board had asked for was somebody, overall, overarching theme, we need more people from northern Westchester. It's very southern Westchester heavy, the Board of Health, because...
We have one person from Peekskill there, yeah. Oh, Mary Ellen McGurk.
Mary Ellen, she's great. She's, what a character. Do you know her?
Oh, yeah.
She's great. At any rate, but it's very Southern heavy because it's in New Rochelle. It's easier for people to get there. So we have one MD position open, and we have somebody that's supposed to come in next week, I believe, who's put in her application for that, for an MD. And then this one, we had two people. The first one that came in was specifically looked for because he has a lot of septic experience. And the board really wanted some more septic people. Because everybody in the southern part of the county doesn't even know what septic is. Now, this guy has the camp experience, which is also great. So my feeling was maybe we should, if you guys like this guy, because he's got the septic and he's been to a meeting already. And then, but I think there will be other openings coming up.
How are you doing? How are you?
So.
Good to see you. Hi, good to see you.
How are you?
Good to see you. Again. Good to see you. How are you? Good to see you. Sean Testa.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Welcome. You've signed the 20 questions thing. The clues are above your head on the screen, and so we'll just be asking from those. But as we're talking about the Board of Health and your application to the Board of Health, the hell do you want to do this for?
You know, Legislator Harkin called and asked me. You know, he said, "Look, there's a position available on the Board of Health." He goes, "I think you would be well suited for." I said, "Well, what are you talking about, Pete?" I said, "There's got to be doctors or somebody else."
He said, "Septic."
Somebody, but he said, "No, you know, we need somebody from, you know, the northern end of the county that understands, you know." And he goes, "We got nothing but septic up there, you know, John. Not so much in Peekskill, but all throughout the northern end of the county, but everybody's on septic, and you know." As a former supervisor, one of the things, you know, we're also dealing with, and all the committees are dealing with, is the stormwater, the MS4 requirements. Mm-hmm. So you've got, the stormwater issues. And one of the things we came across was, through the Eastern Westchester Biotic Corridor, you know, also trying to preserve spaces, and we ended up adopting a cluster ordinance. Well, one of the problems with clustering is that, you know, the current septic setup, mm-hmm. You know, and I understand the reason for it and its adoption years ago was, okay, we want to, you know, limit the amount of development that we have, but then it's, you know, it makes clustering really hard because of the space requirements, the design and everything else, whereas, you know, so now we've come full circle and sort of found ourselves at odds a little bit, you know, in that you can't cluster as much as you'd like to because we're not allowing some of the newer technologies that reduce the amount of space that are required and also, you know, produce a better effluent and, you know, better result on at the end, what's coming out of the pipe. So, you know, in various projects that come up in town, you know, one of the difficulties, I mean, I spoke to engineers, he said, look, a couple of the engineers that we had, and I said, look, I can't do certain things with this project because, and the cost is going to go up because of that requirement. There are things I could do in Connecticut that are, you know, much easier, much cheaper, much better from an overall planning standpoint that I can do here in Westchester. So I think it's something worth looking at, you know, and there's a way, I think, you know, going forward that we can all do this so that you can still protect the environment, you can still protect the level of development that you have, but you can have better development and continue to protect the environment and a number of the other issues that we have. And, you know, do that in conjunction, too, with you know, meeting the MS4 requirements that, you know, particularly are important for everybody up in the watershed. You know, because if you can get, frankly, you know, through a course of series of developments, you can get that phosphorus reduction or nitrogen, you know, on the sound shore. But if you can get those reductions through the various projects, rather than the municipality having to shell out, you know, the millions of dollars that are being talked about for the, you know, capital projects and then the ongoing maintenance of these things, you know, all the better. So, you know, that issue, you know, I think the stormwater and the septic really are two interconnected things, because it's the biggest source of the phosphorus, particularly in a lot of the northern communities, you know, where you see, you know, Lewisburg, we have seven lake communities, you know, they have in Somers, you know, there's Shetterock, you know, Yorktown around Halleck, you have these lakes, used to be summer cottages that have been converted into year-round homes, and the septic systems were never upgraded, and so while the system works from a health standpoint, from an environmental standpoint, it doesn't, because the phosphorus is just pouring into the lakes and having an effect on the quality there. So, you know, we had studies done, at least in Lewisburg, of that effect on our lakes, and I think it's similar to a lot of the other lakes. So, you know, that's of importance to everybody, because, you know, we talk about stormwater, and it's all, we're all downstream of somebody.
Yeah, this is true.
So, you know, that's you know, one aspect. There was another thing that came up while I was supervisor, and I know it's still going on, you know, the bulk petroleum storage issue. And I've spoken to Legislator Harkin about it, and I know he's trying to...
Oh, yeah.
I know you guys, I think, have talked
We have
about
a
it.
Lot of issues on the Board of Health. Petroleum bulk storage,
yeah, we haven't really proceeded with that, yeah.
But I know that one of the things, frankly, that was frustrating for the town was, you know, look, we're a municipality, we're a partner, we're a government, we're not going anywhere, you know. And, you know, the representative from the health department came out, just, you know, we didn't know they were coming, and that's, you know, that's fine. Ran through and said, okay, here's, you know, the top of this tank isn't colored appropriately, or this wasn't done right, or this isn't labeled right. And, you know, what's frustrating, and, you know, a series of fines were levied. Now, what's frustrating
expensive.
Is, right, for the taxpayers. Now, what's frustrating is we were in compliance originally, you know, but the rules and the regulations change, but you don't get notified of those changes. And so all of a sudden, 5 years later, now all of a sudden you're out of compliance, right? Now, if we'd been notified, sure, we would have made the changes. Our goal is to be in compliance. And I think the majority of homeowners and businesses want to be in compliance, but you just don't know. And I think what would have been helpful is, you know, person comes out and says, look, these are the issues that we see. Great, you know what? We're going to go fix them. Come back in 30 days. We'll have everything fixed. If we've satisfied all the requirements, fine. If we haven't, then feel free to fine us. You know, we fully accept that we didn't, you know, or we haven't been making the effort that we need to be to correct it. Fine. You know, but I think a lot of folks, you know, want to make that effort, want to be in compliance, but you just don't know. I mean, with everything that everybody's got to keep track of, it's a lot. And I know that, you know, it came up, and I know it's an issue, frankly, with the Golden Bridge Fire District. You know, they there's questions if there, you know, there's a little bit of an abuse. Because somebody came out, chief wasn't there, used 60 control to tone out the chief to meet him there at the firehouse. That's a severe misuse of an abuse of 60.
The Department of Health person did?
Yes.
Wahoo.
Yeah. Which Commissioner Sutton found out about and was less than pleased.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. But,
God.
You know, so there's a, clearly an overreach there, but, you know, so I think greater care. And then there was even question as to whether or not the system there even fell under the guidelines or under the regulations.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let me get some other people get a foot in the door. Mr. Nona.
Sure. I have no question.
Ms. Myers?
Well, I think these are two issues that are huge, and I know we spend a lot of time on the Board of Health going around and around, because what happens is all of these, and there's probably 80 each month, cases that have gone before an administrative law judge with fines associated with them, and it's a great deal of money, actually. And then the Board of Health is required to approve each of these fine structures. And we've had lots of people come in. I mean, there is plenty of room for change in the petroleum bulk storage area because there's a lot of judgment that's involved and a lot of judgment on the part of the administrative law judges. and on the part of even the hearing officers, and on the part of the people who go out and actually give the citations. It's between that and septic, there definitely room for more knowledge, I think.
Well, and I don't know to what extent the Board of Health or the Board of Legislators would like the Board of Health to, you know, I know that a lot of the time at the meeting I attended, you know, a lot of that time is spent on, you know, evaluating the fines and what are we doing and trying to, you know, exact a level of common sense, I think, to these things, looking at each case. I think the presentation from the administrative law judges that day was excellent.
They
tried to do
the same thing. They came in the day that Ed came to watch. There's three administrative law judges.
You know, but so it's, how do we get to how do we change from, okay, we keep dealing with the same problem over and over again to finding more of a long-term solution?
Right.
Some of these problems and the willingness to, you know, look at some potential common sense changes.
And I think Chris Crane has some good ideas, too, for moving forward.
Sure.
That would meet both the environmental concerns and the sort of fairness concerns, rather than looking just to slam someone.
Right, and that there's a difference between a homeowner and a business and an Exxon, you know, gas station.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
Mr. Chester.
No questions.
Wow, what's going on here?
No need for any questions.
We heard a lot.
Terrific.
Some very interesting.
Ed, thank you very much. This was an appointment for which we're doing multiple interviews, and we'll let you know. But whatever the outcome is, there will be, as Ms. Myers has said before, potentially other openings. We know you want to serve.
It's terrific. Always happy to.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good
seeing you.
Good seeing you.
Do you want to settle out the Department of Health?
Is David here?
I think so.
Yeah, let's not hold him up. It's 4:30. It's 4:30. It's after 4:30.
Okay, fine. Okay, good.
Is that okay?
Fine with me. I just wanted to seeking consensus, not directing anything. David's resume, by the way, is on the back of Ken's letter, if you haven't seen it.
Very unimpressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you going to do?
Oh, I know David,
What are you going to do?
Oh, he founded Club Fit. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, his Club Fit is his.
Oh, he owns Tappan Hill? Or he
did?
Or the company did?
His trust owns Tappan Hill.
Oh. Wow. He's no slouch.
No, you never describe David as a slouch.
Never.
I mean, you see him, you know, every year.
I do.
At the Christmas party at WCZ. Yeah,
exactly. But I
got a great house. I've been to his house.
Yeah,
it's a great
place.
He's also currently chairman of the Burns Film Center, too.
So is he really?
Was. Now, is he still?
His family gave enormous amounts of money and land to the T-Town. Family was actually one of the founders. The guy's an icon in the T-Town.
His family sold Jeff Thompson his.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, old friends.
Hello there.
What are you going to do?
How are you? Gee, this is more of an audience than I expected.
David, nice to see you.
Well, you know, we don't ordinarily interview people who've never served in educational places before, so we're kind of wondering, David, if you could justify why it is exactly that you think you're qualified for an exalted position like this. Having, of course, one former trustee right over here.
Gosh, that's right.
Is this Jack's position, by the way?
Who's?
For Jack?
Yes.
This is Jack's.
It is, actually.
Jack passed away. Yeah. He was my constituent.
All right, let's get the old 45-second razzle-dazzle here.
Well, the truth is, John will know more than I do at this point. I mean, you know the answer that I've been on the foundation board for 10 years, and the chairman. president and then chairman. And I actually think the trustees are important. Obviously, there's going to be a time we have to choose a new president, which is probably the most important time. But the other is, I think John knows, I mean, the college is under some pressure now. Enrollment is somewhat down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know. Nobody knows completely why, that I've heard. There were some computer screw-ups in the fall. Maybe people are getting jobs more. I'm not quite sure I believe that.
So just nice. Down versus a year ago.
And not down a lot. And in, oh, maybe the most important thing to say is for the last 3 years, it's been booming.
Right.
So
that's
it's been
what I
8% and 9%.
Yeah.
And so you can't continue that forever, presumably. And that may be more to the point.
Part of it also depends on the demographics. You have that age group now, fewer of that age group coming up from college.
And you may get, the opposite thing, which is people are under pressure, so they aren't spending either the money or the time. I don't know. And even, as you know, it's a great institution.
John, anything you want to say?
I mean, we throw rose petals?
I mean, you
work together
it's up
at
to
the
you.
Board.
Have you got some advice?
We'll talk privately. Betsy, already, I talked to Betsy once, too, about a couple.
Yeah, no, it's important.
No, no, you really have
ideas
to.
That you have.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm glad that you're, I mean, I'm happy to, really happy to do it, but I'm also glad you're reaching out to citizens, lawyers, different kinds of people. I think that's a good thing on the college board, representing the whole
community. I was the first educator appointed on that board.
The first?
At least in a long time, I mean.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, so they were looking for, there was no educators on the board.
Wow.
At the time I came on.
That's your answer, Bill. You
don't That's one. Judy.
Yeah, no. I think it's wonderful, if you're willing.
Yeah. Mr. Noah.
Well, I report to John. All right, am I allowed to go?
Yes.
Anybody
is it raining out?
Anybody want to torture him any further?
No.
Okay, terrific.
Thank you.
David, thank you.
Thanks for that.
It was.
It was.
Good. Great.
Thank you, Dave.
Very nice, Judy. Bye.
We'll talk.
Yeah, I would actually
call,
like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will do that. It won't be until next week.
That's fine.
Thanks.
Okay. In regard to Mr. Smoke, may I have a motion?
I move.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Nona, seconded by Mrs. Myers. All in favor say
aye.
Aye.
Boy,
okay.
Lucky
Mr. Smoke is appointed, and we are lucky to have him.
Yes, yeah.
If anybody wants to contradict that, I'll have to see me outside, because that's absurd.
Right, exactly.
Okay, let's now talk about our two choices here for Board of Health. Let me say from the beginning that I would appoint either one of these guys.
The Board of Health would be very fortunate to have either.
So, Judy's having given us a forewarning that there may be vacancies coming up.
I think so. The way it's worked, if I can, just for a minute, there's 13 members of the Board of Health. Three have to be MDs, according to the charter. Then, because the County Board of Health took over, every city originally had a Board of Health. And it was consolidated, believe it or not. It was consolidated into a county board of health, and the way it was consolidated was to allow each of the cities to have a representative on the board of health. And the selection of the city people is far more complicated. It actually, you have to have three recommendations from the mayor of the city come to the appointments committee. Three recommendations, and then we see all three, and then we select one. So the city positions are, and then the other thing we have, other than that, we have at-large positions. And so what's available right now is an at-large position. And the request had been from the Board of Health, if you guys could find someone who's from Northern Westchester, it would really help to round things out geographically, and we'd love someone with, you know, especially septic, and that's why I went to Peter Harcum, being septic sub-chair, whatever he is, and said, what do you suggest? And he gave me Ed's name. John Tassone, the other area, I mean, he is also extremely, I worried a little bit about, as you said, John, about the conflict of interest, only because he has to pass the Department of Health, you know, all the requirements. But having met him, I don't particularly think that would be an issue at all. I would make a recommendation that we would go with Ed, because he's already been to a meeting, he sort of studied it. I do think there will be other at-large positions coming up. A lot of the members of the Board of Health have been on for a very long time. And I sense they're beginning to say, okay, we need someone else here.
Are you going to take it upon yourself then to manage those at-large positions in such a way that we get a diversity of both opinion and residency?
Absolutely. Well, and I would leave it to the Board of Health itself. You know, I think...
Well, yeah, but I mean, from the point of view of the Board of Legislators, so we don't want to get into a position where we're going all north.
And that's probably the least of our problems, because the Department of Health is located in New Rochelle, and they meet in the morning, one Thursday every month from 9 to 11. So it does mean that if you are a professional and you are tied to your desk, it does make it somewhat difficult.
What is Ed Brancati doing now?
Because it says here he's referring himself as the former supervisor.
He did call himself former.
He's not the supervisor anymore.
No, he lost the election.
Yeah, so he's not presently
this
the supervisor.
This may be an old resume.
I think he is between jobs. But I think he's probably consulting.
Looks like he says an anticipated executive.
Well, it looks like he's been getting his MPA at the Masters of Public Affairs at NYU. Yeah. Maybe he's probably going full time, I guess.
Well, an executive MPA, isn't that the shorter thing?
I don't know.
At any rate, he was able to come to the board meeting. Mm-hmm. He said he's able to make the meetings. And then hopefully next week, or whenever we do our next appointments, we will see we have an opening in an MD slot. The reason this opening came about was this had been filled by a guy who was Andy Spano's physician, actually, in Yorktown.
Yeah.
Dr. Klein. He wasn't fulfilling an MD requirement, but he did represent Northern Westchester, being Yorktown, and he resigned when Andy lost, or you know, the beginning of last year. So this has been an opening, and I've gotten a lot of heat lately and I think actually they've even written to Ken saying, come on, because otherwise they may not make quorum. So they do need somebody on.
All right, so do you want to put your suggestion in the form of a motion?
Sure, I would move that we name Edward W. Brancati to this open spot, Junior, to this open spot.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Yeah, I'd also like to keep this guy Tassone on a...
definitely.
I was impressed with him.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, the motion is passed then for Brancati.
And how did this song come to us, do we know?
Through some of the people in the Department of Health.
Oh, okay.
The regional people seem to have bubbled him up.
To apply, okay.
Yeah. They met him and were impressed with him as they're working with him.
In that particular file folder, let's be sure that we keep this guy above. I mean, red letters, whatever it takes to ensure that we do that. Okay, and then the process for informing... Ed, as well as Mr. Tassone, is?
They get a confirmation letter.
That's for Ed.
Right.
And for Mr. Tassone?
I don't think we...
There is no process.
Would you please draft a letter for me to sign to the effect that we're grateful for his attending
with your
approval, we'd like very much to keep you at the top of our list for future vacancies. Okay, if you can get that done for me tomorrow, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Any other matter before the board, the committee? No. John. I have them in alphabetical order here.
I brought this up before. There was a woman that was interviewed, Kimberly Morella, for the Human Rights Commission, and her name has never come back. She was interviewed, and I'm wondering why she hadn't...
You didn't vote on her? I remember interviewing her. I remember we interviewed
her. You had to leave...
Oh,
you had to leave that day for something
and
pressing.
So they need a person then, don't they? Human Rights Commission.
And
let me fish around and see what
she was not moved out of committee. She was actually prevented from moving out of committee that day.
Was that the one I sort of rather aggressively interviewed?
I don't know.
There was somebody.
My recollection.
That was the one.
She was okay.
All right, let me.
I was outvoted to move her out of committee, yeah. And I just think
by
that.
Who? Who else?
The other.
I wasn't here, so.
You, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
2-1, you were outvoted.
Well,
or lack of a second or something, whatever. Let me look into that.
I don't remember it.
Let's take a look at that.
Yeah, I know there had to be three of us.
Do you have any minutes of it?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to go see.
Right, let me look into that.
Will you be back here in 15 minutes, please?
Yes. Yeah, that's why I wanted to.
Okay. Motion to adjourn by Mr. Nona, second by Ms. Myers. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.